National Radio Club.
Heidi Xers, Phil Wayne here for Market Scope. I'm saddened to report that we've lost another legendary air personality. Dr. Don Rose, the ever-cheerful Top 40 morning man, passed away in his sleep on March 30th after many years of health problems. For our column this month, we'll dig up some old Don Rose air checks and let the doctor make us chuckle once again.
That is Huey Lewis. This is Dr. Donald D. Rose. Remember that name. You may never hear it again. At 8:50, I'm kidding. It's 8 before 9 at 610 KFRC. And you know what? Something really neat has happened. One of my favorite people at the Big 610 through the years is Jenny Hubble. Jenny started off as my secretary at the radio station. In fact, one of my prized possessions is a keychain that she gave me one time that says Super Jock on it. And anyway, Jenny left for not sick leave, but maternity leave just a couple of weeks ago. And now we'd like to announce the birth of their son, born this morning at approximately 5 a.m. to Jenny and Michael Hubble. Congratulations. It's a bouncing baby boy, 10 and a half pounds. Isn't that great? I love it. And of course, she has her mother's, he has her mother's features and his father's fixtures, as it were. 8:53, it's 7 before 9 o'clock. And Brian Ray at 10 o'clock this morning. Brian's kind of a slow starter in the morning, have you noticed? Yesterday I said to him, ever get the feeling if you move too fast, you'll bust a cobweb? Brian studied under Chico Marx at the Sylvester Stallone School of Diaddiction. The only thing people have to say about Brian's suits is, your zipper's open.
Eve, are there any snacks around here?
We still have classic spam.
No. Can't we play? This song will mean something to the audience because, well, it's kind of appropriate for today, okay? Just trust me on this. Yeah, thank you. Because it's really the words that I've lived by through good times and bad times and doing the show on my hospital bed and times when it looked like it wasn't even going to be possible to get up the next morning. Just hang in there. Never surrender at KFRC.
Just a little more time is all we're asking for.
Good morning, 9 o'clock from KFRC San Francisco. The president cancels a trip and a mystery over why. KFRC Northern California weather for the weekend. We'll have the sunny skies inland, but still have fog to cover along the coast. Maybe even a little drizzle in the mornings. A little fog, a little drizzle, with some raindrops falling. Or angels crying in the sky.
I like that. That's poetry.
I never heard fog music, though. You know, where you actually have the fog horns play a tune.
Whoa!
Boom.
Guess we get carried away sometimes.
I wonder if we could just leave the mics open and for the next hour just say whatever comes to mind and talk. And
you're going to be here on Monday, aren't you?
If it's God's will, I'll be here. That's all I can say. I'll tell you something. I like Frank Sinatra. I've got a lot of his albums at home.
Dunkashane, darling, Dunkashane.
Wayne Newton once asked me to carry his belt buckle up the stairs.
Did he really?
Yes, I put it on my back and hauled it upstairs.
And now.
Yeah, yes.
Boy, I love it. Nothing like a good buildup.
Points at that audience.
And believe me, this is nothing like a good buildup.
Heaven, I'm in heaven. That I hardly see giant and hardly speak.
What in the world is this? They're giving out jars of Valium to all of us. And so we will talk like... I'm still waiting for the instructions on how to proceed with the new style, Don.
I
could you give me any tips on that? Well, you've done this.
I've got a 3-page memo here.
Oh, you do.
Tells me. Maybe I'll be happy to share it with you.
Well, actually, why don't you keep that one?
Okay. All right.
It's Romper Room. That's not good MOR music. Thank you, George. And now from KFRC, San Francisco, Dr. Don Rose.
Thank you very much, Robert. I don't know if you knew this, but Robert's granduncle, Melvin of Warsaw, invented the horse-drawn 747. Of course, Robert's a former sports editor for the Playboy Calendar Company. Of San Francisco. And if you got a birthday coming up, whee! You survived. Didn't we all? That's why I'm here this morning, Dr. Don, to try to make your morning. 907 at 610 KFRC.
I've been through so many changes in my life, woman.
That's the problem. No more heroes. 944. Oh, come on. You're not a hero. 16 before 10 at 610 KFRC. Waldo wants to audition because he thinks he will fit into the new format. I don't think we're going to be playing show tunes. I mean, you don't sound like Nat King Cole. You don't even sound like John Denver. Yep, the odor of Ripple and Lysol, folks. Waldo's back from breakfast. Waldo's breath has been called a threat to the ozone layer.
Yeah.
And the guy's superstitious. Won't have that 13th drink at the same bar. You had a bad night last night, huh? Waldo says the last thing he remembers was drinking champagne with bubbles tickling his nose. Then he woke up and bubbles was gone. Yeah. I remember the last time you were sick. The flag in front of the Budweiser warehouse was at half mast for a week. I'm not saying Waldo's a slob, but his shirt is listed in the Diners Club.
Now, during Macy's back-to-school wardrobe sale, you can save 20% on absolutely everything in Macy's children's departments.
With 100% NutraSweet.
Well, the first time I ever worked with Robert McCormick, well, I was doing my program from my hospital bed. Came down with something serious, a broken leg.
Well, you were in a big cast, so was it a body cast?
It was a body cast, right. And it was in 1975, and you were the new guy in town, fresh in from Motown.
Yeah, well, we came in to see you. We went out to the house once in a while. We delivered your logs. I know Chuck Buell used to bring them out, right?
Chuck Buell used to deliver my logs every night, so I'd have them in the morning for the program.
Yeah,
right?
Fond memories. Well, you know, you mentioned that so many people have worked here at KFRC and are now around the country, and of course, a lot of them are still in the area. And the other thing, I don't know if you mentioned it this morning, a lot of people have always dreamed of working here, and I'll never forget when Dave Cook called me and said, come on out. Hey, I didn't fly out to take a look at the station. I didn't have to come out and ask around. I said, I loaded all the luggage I had, everything I could get into the car, and I hit the road and didn't stop. I think I stopped to sleep for about 6 hours. Well, anyway, a lot of people that are in the rock business will not be working here, have that to look forward to. Today in Stockton, KWIN, which is a contemporary hit radio station, 97 FM, is going to give KFRC a send-off beginning at 3 p.m. They're here now. They're picking up jingles, and they're going to be interviewing people who have worked here. And
oh, for heaven's
sakes. On their radio station, they are going to pay a tribute to KFRC.
Well, thanks, you guys. That's wonderful. We have, Channel 4 is here today, Channel 5, Channel 10. My old friend Dan Adams from Sacred Tomato is here. Any other television stations? And let's see.
Two.
Oh, Channel 2 is here. What? I thought you were part of the Channel 4 gang.
I am.
Okay. All those guys look alike. They go to the same...
No, they don't look alike. Come on now. That's a terrible thing to say.
Well, they're good looking.
Well, we were having kind of an impromptu press conference here, and we could just leave the microphone open, and you guys could ask me some questions for a couple of minutes. You want to do that? Anybody have any questions?
We've asked them all, Don.
Oh. Well, I guess the obvious question is, what do you feel about the new format? I think it's absolutely correct for KFRC, because the majority of the audience that's left on AM is over 45, and I think it's the right move to cater to that group. The fact of the matter is, the younger demographics have gone over to FM, and they ain't coming back. You know, they don't even get on our dial, the AM dial, to sample what we're doing anymore. So, you know, we can be standing on our head and nobody knows about it. So you got to go for the audience you got, and that's what we're doing. Now, whether it's right for me or not, it's right for KFRC. Whether it's right for me, I guess, remains to be seen. But I'm going to give it my best, and... people that have listened to this program, gee, there's a lot of noise back there. People that have listened to this program for a period of time know that I'll give it my best. And I'll be working kind of like with one hand tied behind my back, because I will not have the sound effects. Things like, do we have any sound effects in there?
So people have 300. Which one do you want?
Oh, okay. Well, throw on a couple of them just for the heck of it.
Bitch!
Hey, not that one! I mean, that stands out like a sore thumb. All right. Thank you. That's much better. That's called Laffy, by the way. And, of course, there's the well-known Curly. And there's no bigger Three Stooges fan in America than...
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
...than me. He thinks he's broadcasting. You realize, of course, nobody's listening to this.
Oh, a phony. And a phony at the mic.
Hey, thanks. we have all of these sound effects. I'm going to miss them, and I'll be doing the program without them. But maybe it's kind of become a crutch for me. Maybe I need to learn to be funny without having somebody go, ha, ha, ha. You know, maybe it wasn't funny in the first place, and nobody would go, ha, ha, ha.
Ha, right? Ha.
All right. See, it's kind of a philosophical question. If you... It's a philosophical question. If you tell a gag that isn't funny, but nobody's listening, will there be any noise? While you contemplate that, let's play some music, shouldn't we?
Will there be any song?
I certainly hope so.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right. Just like this. The greatest love of all at 9:52, 8 minutes before 10 o'clock. Brian Ray at 10 o'clock this morning. And the only thing I hope is that you'll give us a try, that you'll listen on Monday morning, because we'll be here at KFRC.
I believe the children are our future.
KFRC San Francisco. Mornings are magic with Dr. Don Rose. Magic 61.
And Magic 61 information at 6 o'clock. I'm Joanne Green. Vice President Bush and dozens of White House staffers are expected to undergo voluntary drug testing beginning today. I'm Joanne Green, and we have more news coming up. But in the meantime, the magic begins with Dr. Don Rose on Magic 61.
You know, I feel just like a Ford salesman who's just been given a new territory, Japan. Anyway, we have something that's going to explain what we're going to do. Good. I'll be listening with both ears.
Magic 61. It feels right. These songs, America's best songs.
Magic.
listening to Magic 61. Please write to us. Tell us if we're doing a good job playing your music. Our address is Magic 61, 500 Washington Street, San Francisco, 94111. It's our job to make magic for you. Magic 61.
Okay, I guess that means we can get started then, huh? All right, hit it. The fat lady sings.
Thank you, Dr. Don. You are one of my favorites. If you would like to send in air checks of your hometown market, send them to the DX Audio Service, 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. I'm in the process of moving, so send them to Fred till further notice. Remember, we're still sending out jingle CDs if you mail us a Market Scope. Have a wonderful month, and we'll see you next month for Market Scope. Now, here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members. The opinions are those of the speaker and do not represent the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or its editors. Members may muse by calling the Action Line at 419-224-1609. 24 hours a day.
Hi, DXers. This is John Sherman of Elmira Heights, New York. Within another 2 weeks, I should have my Larry Glick program that was aired on New Year's Eve from midnight to about 3 o'clock New Year's Day of this year onto CDs. If anybody's interested in knowing more about this, they can contact me at 607-734-5029, and I'm John, J-O-N, German, like the language, and then I'm here in Elmira Heights, 73 from Good DX.
Hi, this is Jerry Gabrielli from Belmont, New Jersey, and I have something I've never heard before on radio. For many years, certainly in my memory, which goes back to 1937 when I was 7, WMCA was at 570 on the dial. They've changed their format several times, and now they're a religious station. Well, recently, at 970, which was called WWDJ in Hackensack, I heard...
WMCA 970, New York City, a service of Salem Communications.
So what I want to know, I guess, is this legal, and has this ever been done before, or is one of the stations about to change its call letters?
This is Tim Hendel responding to Ken Anischuk's question. The idea that the word oldies drives away younger listeners. Ken asked us, what is our opinion of that conclusion? This is my opinion. Я иду куда сам сам идет пешком. In other words, BS.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. Let me congratulate Fred Volby and everybody for the DX Audio Service. I learned DXing years ago. If it wasn't for the DX Audio Service, I wouldn't have known Ernie Wislowski, I wouldn't have known Fred and Martin Wisniewicz, the late Ernie Cooper, and the late Betty Lord, and Dave Morthouse, Clarence Caudray, David Jones, Bruce Elving, and John Malachy, and there were so many I can't mention. But I want to thank you all for the DX Audio Service for 20 years. May it go on forever and ever. I'd like to see a radio column called Where Are They Now? Where you salute a radio station that was big in the 70s that is now talk or whatever they are doing. For example, what is KCBQ doing nowadays? WQAM in Miami is Sports Radio 560. They were Miami's number one radio station for many years as a rock station. 790 WAXY used to be WFUN. WAXY has gone from news talk to brokered programming to memories format to all kinds of things. Now They are known as Sports Talk Radio 790, The Ticket. Back then, I didn't appreciate it, but now I do. Happy anniversary to the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service.
Hi there, this is Don Finney in Miami. I just thought I'd tell you that I was very, very pleased to know the status of Mr. Tommy Shannon. That used to be a great DJ on WTVW in Buffalo in the 60s, in the late 50s, early 60s, and he's retiring, and I'm sorry about that, because he was a real, real great DJ. I was very close to him, and one day I went to WGR in Buffalo, 550 on the dial, which is now, at the present time, I understand, is a sports format station, and it was a rock station from at that time, and from about April 63 to February or March 64, and he just gave us a tour of the station off the bat. We just came in unannounced. That's the kind of a guy he was. He was just a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I hope everything goes well with him in the future. And thank you so much.
Hi there, audio service members. Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin on Monday, April the 11th. When I phoned in my muse a couple of months ago and talked about how I got into radio and DXing, I forgot to mention what type of work I do. And I'd like to do that right now. I work at, for new members, I work at public or community radio station WOJB-FM here on the Lacouture Ojibwe Reservation near Hayward as the largest native-owned radio station east of the Mississippi River. We're 100,000 watts. And I mention that because I want to answer Tim Hendel's question as best I can. WOJB is an NPR member station, and I checked with on NPR's website with the help of a colleague, and we didn't find anything of product endorsement or anything that you know, that they said that NPR doesn't endorse any product at all. They do mention their online store where you can buy you can buy products, and there's links to different sites. However, Wisconsin Public Radio, they do promote their website hourly, and they do promote the fact that you can buy products from their radio store, and they do mention that pretty much quite frequently, pretty much every at least once an hour or pretty close to that. Tim, I hope that answers your question, and I guess with that said, I just want to mention too that I'm on the air here at WOJB Monday through Fridays from 1 until 5 o'clock with a pretty good music mix, which does well during membership drives. And you can check me out at, for those that have computer and online services, at wojb.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul B. Smith in Baltimore, Maryland, with some information that might be of interest to some of you. There is a radio broadcast that is heard every Thursday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. on the American Voice Radio Network. It's called Waves of Truth, and it deals with micro-broadcasting. If any of you are interested, you may access that particular network in the following modes. You can go on the Internet at www.americanvoiceradio.com or .net. On satellite C-band, it is on Galaxy 7, Transponder 12, 8.1 megahertz subcarrier. I don't know if that's wideband or narrowband. You can figure that out. If you have 4D TV, it is on GB, that's Golf Bravo, 954, or on shortwave, Radio Miami International will probably carry it live at 7.385 megahertz. I myself am interested in starting a micro-broadcasting system here in Northeast Baltimore. It's hosted by a guy named Joe McNeil, who is the president of the National Association of Micro-Broadcasters, which has a conference call every Saturday morning. If anyone is interested, I can give that info to anyone on the musings line if I have any takers.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, CKOT, Tilsonburg, Ontario, 1510, will celebrate its 50th anniversary early in May. They went on in 1955 with a 250-watt station. They're still just a daytimer, but they have gone to 1,000 watts in 1958, and then sometime later, 10,000 watts, and they're still operating with a country format from sunrise to sunset, and they're the last station left in Ontario that is strictly a daytime station that's licensed to somewhere in Ontario. I'd like to hear from Dayton, the ham radio convention, somebody that goes to it, please give us a report of that. Now, some very good catches this past Saturday night, which was April the 16th, on 1040. You always get WHO Des Moines at night, but I also was getting WCHR by changing direction of the radio. This is a station serving the Lehigh Valley and the Delaware Valley, so I presume they're about on the Pennsylvania-New Jersey border. Also on 1270, I got WCBG Cumberland, I think it's West Virginia. They were carrying Pittsburgh Pirate Baseball. Also on 900, I pretty well nulled out CHML in Hamilton, only 23 miles from here, and I was really getting country music. It was either Fremont, Ohio, or Stanton, Virginia, I figure. I didn't get an ID on it. And just this past evening, April the 19th, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was getting WACK 1420 Newark, New Jersey, and it wasn't going to be dark here for another 3 hours. I'm going to Meridian, Mississippi about this time next month, so I'll give you folks a report on what's going on in radio between here and there. Had a talk with our friend Blaine Thompson a week ago Sunday morning in Fort Wayne, Indiana, too. It was always nice to be talking to him. And also WERE in Cleveland at 1300 is playing music again. I think sounds like mostly the older popular standards. And I had a call a couple weeks ago from someone at CHUC radio station in Cobourg, Ontario, 1450 on the dial, and they've been going to go to FM for a long time and making noises about it, but now they're going to hold back on it again for at least a little while. So, I don't know. I think one of the investors backed out that was going to put up the money, and they thought they had another one, and maybe they didn't, so we'll see how that goes down, but that's the way it is for now. And also, I'm looking forward to coming to Culpsville, Pennsylvania, Labor Day weekend, and having a wonderful time with everybody again.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And as Wayne said, the convention's going to be in Culpsville, Pennsylvania, over Labor Day weekend. We don't have all the details. We only have the date and where it's going to be. But on our next edition, I'll see if I can get someone to talk about the convention and a little bit about some of the details, room rates, and how to get there, etc. We also had a lot of telephone calls to the Musings line that went along this line.
Hi, this is Mike Lance in Miami Beach, Florida. I don't understand why Odie's Radio is getting rid of the Odie's word in Chicago. They are Odie's, and they are true songs. They were the songs that made the station famous. And what I don't understand is why Odie's Radio is playing such a bad variety of oldies. There are so many oldies that were big that, for example, Magic 102.7 plays all the time. In fact, I can even memorize when they say, for example, Dionne Warwick, you'll hear I Say a Little Prayer, or you hear Walk On By. You won't hear Do You Know the Way to San Jose, or You Never Get to Heaven If You Break My Heart.
And what Mike says is kind of echoed amongst the masses, including people who are not necessarily radio aficionados like us or radio DXers. In fact, I've always been interested why a radio station would say that they are the number one rated station, or more people listen to us than any other radio station. Yet when I do my travels around town, I have yet to find anybody who listens to the radio station. In fact, it's quite the opposite. People seem to be fleeing a lot of radio just because it happens to be bad and repetitive. Well, I found an interesting article which was written by Larry Stoller, who you might remember attending some of the National Radio Club conventions. Apparently, Larry posted this on a radio bulletin board computer service, and I know a lot of people don't have access to these bulletin board services, so I'd like to read you what Larry wrote and perhaps open it up for comments on our next edition of the Musings to the Members. His article is titled, What Radio Really Needs. Larry writes, over the past several months, many articles have been written and surveys have been done regarding the state of radio in America. This concern has come up throughout radio's history, except this time the competition comes from different sources. In the 1950s, the future of radio was in doubt as television became part of the American culture. Network radio's future was threatened as the habits of the audience began to change. In 1955, Monitor began on NBC Radio. It was a weekend program that consisted of music and special features, reports and commentaries on a variety of subjects. It was created by then NBC President Sylvester L. Pat Weaver, who also invented The Today Show and The Tonight Show. Monitor was an immediate success. It ran for 20 years and to this day is credited as saving the radio network. Radio has other threats to its existence over the years, as inventions such as the Walkman entered our lives. Many questioned whether traditional over-the-air broadcasting would survive, and guess what? It did. Today, satellite radio has entered the landscape. Two companies, XM and Sirius, offer subscribers many channels full of all kinds of music, much of which has been ignored by commercial and even non-commercial radio in America. Both satellite services have begun to hire well-known names such as Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony. XM has an 11-year agreement to broadcast Major League Baseball. Sirius has the NFL, and there's many more to come for both companies as competition increases. As a result of brilliant marketing through commercial-free music channels and making people believe that they are getting more diversity, many are willing to pay monthly for something that they got for free for years, as long as they supported the station that they listened to and the advertisers that were on the air. Internet radio is listened to by more people than ever before. Despite the Recording Industry Association of America's successful attempt to demand that radio stations pay massive amounts of money for making their programming available online, the choices via the net increase, and as such, are available to a wider audience all over the world. The examples I mentioned are only a few of the ever-increasing sources people have for obtaining music and information at a faster rate every day. How is the industry reacting? In my opinion, much of the time is being wasted by creating formats with ridiculous names such as Jack, Bob, Frank, Dave, and now Ben. They all are saying, "We play what we want." Who is the we that they keep referring to? Does the we mean only people that were contacted by a research firm? Or is it an example of imaging being done for the wrong reasons? It's okay to offer a wide variety of music, but if you don't know the artists and titles, what does it matter? The formats are not being promoted with good-sounding jocks or live remotes or audience involvement by phone or station website. Instead, you hear things like, "Don't call the request line. We don't have one. You're just a listener." How is that going to help what you're after when building an audience? This approach is telling the listener that they are not worth anything and their opinion doesn't matter. Another thing that many stations tell you is what they are not instead of what they are. Remember the days of no rock, no rap, no sleepy elevator music? That is what a station doesn't want to be. Now, what is the station in question all about? What kind of music is emphasized every day? What will the audience hear when they tune in? I don't know. Recently, the industry launched a $28 million campaign to tell people, through messages from many performers, that they got their start and became famous as a result of radio. I think to the average person, when they hear this, they will think, "So what?" or "Who cares?" It doesn't make people excited about this great medium. So much of what is available on the AM and FM dial is reality-oriented. This is done through morning shows where they talk about reality TV or what the team has to do when they get off the air or gossip about who slept with who. One of the things that got so many of us interested in radio were the announcers that made it larger than life, and they were positive on the air. Much of what is permitted or accepted as the norm on the air would have not been considered years ago. When I turn on the radio, I don't care about problems somebody in a morning team is having. One day I heard a couple of people talk about how they had to go home and mow the lawn. How does knowing that fact affect my life or anyone else's? It really doesn't. It's just another example of reality radio. The demographic argument has become extremely niched. This became apparent to me recently while reading an interview with the program director of a station in New Jersey who decided to change the focus of the weekly oldie show. The show had been 70s based with a countdown from a specific year each week. The decision was made to drop the concentration on the 70s and play requests from the 60s through the 80s. In the article, it was stated that the core audience the station was after was 35 to 45 years. What next? Maybe a format for people aged 25 to 26. That would be for adult women who sit on the right side of the front seat of the car. The point is this. What happened to going after everybody? The purpose is to get more people listening to a station so more advertisers will buy time and the ad rates can increase. I've also noticed a concentration on the 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. office audience. What happened to the rest of the broadcast day? I thought the belief was you were not supposed to pay attention to the radio when you were at work. I guess instead you have it on in the background just enough so you'll be able to write down information on what you listen to in the Arbitron diary. I attended a conference on what it takes to get music played on the air. One of the participants mentioned a station that does a specialty show on Sunday nights where rarely heard bands are featured. One of the panelists said it didn't matter on Sunday night because people are watching television. It used to be that the industry cared about good content 24 hours a day. Now, after 7 o'clock, the assumption is that everyone is on the internet, or watching TV, or exploring other sources of entertainment. This is wrong. Stations might as well sign off at night based on that logic. Those are just a few of the decisions and perceptions that have contributed to the way radio sounds today and why listeners are going to alternatives, as mentioned earlier. This is what I think needs to be done in order for things to change and ultimately make radio worth listening to again. Number one, although music selection and the number of songs played is important, remember it's what's going on between the songs that also matters. Make the station sound interesting around the clock. Stop the practice of voice tracking from a different location. This does not make a station sound like it cares about the area it's supposed to serve. Radio's biggest advantage and potential draw, when done right, is that it can be live and local. This concept needs to return to the air right away. Number two, radio should be looked at as an escape from what the average person has to deal with every day. Make the morning show sound positive and market them that way. Get away from inside jokes, discussion about reality TV shows, etc. Cut back on the reality approach and make it fun to tune into. Number three, promote the station consistently through audience involvement on the phone, through the website, at live remotes and other appearances. Number four, stop the $28 million campaign I mentioned earlier. In the end, it won't matter and people will forget about it. Number five, pay attention to the entire broadcast day. Make a station sound as exciting at 10 p.m. as it would if the audience tuned in at 7 a.m. Do everything necessary to get people to leave the radio on at night. It's just as important as during the day. 6. Drop the Jack, Bob, Ben, and other name stuff. It doesn't mean a thing. Use call letters and tell people what the station is all about. What I have suggested takes a lot of work, but the end result will be worth it. The listeners will talk in a positive way about radio. The ratings will increase. The salespeople will be able to charge more for commercials, and a good bottom line will result. The idea is not to panic. Realize and accept the fact that satellite radio, The internet, iPods, and other ways to obtain music and information are here to stay. They are not going away. You can't fight fire with fire. Realize radio's strengths and use them. Radio is not dead, but in order to ensure the future growth of it, these suggestions and others should be considered and ultimately added to the overall sound and presentation. Signed, Larry Stoller.
Hello again, DXers. Ken Anischuk back here in sports. And to Fred, congratulations for 20 years in the DX audio service. You enlisted me on your staff back in early 1993, so this is a good 12 years I've been giving sports, and I'm happy to be doing it for the whole membership, and a few other things, ratings and news and what have you. Anyway, I have had an update lately, so let me get right to this for Major League Baseball. For some reason, the Anaheim Angels have been moved to Los Angeles. A hop across town, whatever. But they're now back to the original name that they started out back in the 1960s. They're the Los Angeles Angels. And their broadcasters this year are Rory Marcus and Terry Smith. And they have KSPN as flagship, along with a six-station network here. Next is the World Series champs, Boston Red Sox, 850 WEEI, Joe Castiglione and Jerry Trupiano on a 58-station AM and FM network all over New England. And in Spanish, of course, on 950 WROL. The Chicago White Sox on 1000 WMVP, John Rooney, Ed Farmer, and Bill Melton on post and pregame shows. 20 AM and FM stations in four states. Cleveland Indians on 1100 WTAM, Tom Hamilton, Mike Hegan, Matt Underwood, 26 stations in Ohio and one in Pennsylvania. The Detroit Tigers, 1270 WXYT, Jim Price and Dan Dickerson, 26 stations AM and FM in Michigan, one in Ontario and Ohio. The Kansas City Royals, huge network, highlighted by 810 WHB with Denny Matthews and Ryan Lefevre, 67 AM and 24 FM stations in five states. And of course, games after 7 o'clock on 97.3 KZPL simulcast. Next, the Minnesota Twins, the Central Division champs. On 8:30, WCCO, Herb Carneal, Joe Gordon, and Dan Gladden. Herb is in his 50th year on the air. They can be heard on 49 AM and 6 FM stations in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and one in Iowa. The New York Yankees on 8:80, WCBS, and the first woman broadcaster since the late 70s. Susan Waldman joins John Sterling behind the mic, as the Yankees are on 36 AM and 3 FM stations in four states, plus Florida, North Carolina, and Rhode Island. The Oakland Athletics on 610 KFRC. And I've read they've been sold recently, so I'm not sure what's the status of that going to be. Perhaps someone on the West Coast can tell me about that, because I've read in broadcasting recently that they've been sold. So let's see what happens. Anyway, Bill King and Ken Korak are broadcasters, 21 AM and 1 FM station in California, Nevada, Oregon, 1 Hawaii. The Seattle Mariners on 1000 KOMO, Dave Niehaus, Rick Riz, Ron Fairley, and Dave Henderson, 34 AM and 4 FM stations in five states there. And in Spanish, 1360 KKMO. Texas Rangers in 2000, 1080 KRLD, Spanish 1270 KFLC, in English, Eric Nadel and Victor Rojas, 25 AM and 7 FM stations in Texas, Louisiana, New Mexico. And finally, Toronto on 590 CJCL with Tom Cheek, Jerry Howarth, Mike Wilnerth, and Warren Saku. Thanks to Wayne Ryan for his information on the last month's tape. And they have, I'd say at least a dozen stations in Ontario, Alberta, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, and New York State. Let me back up to F2 of the National League now. The Arizona Diamondbacks on 620 KTAR, Tom Brenneman, Greg Schulte, Rod Allen, and Jim Traber. And they have at least 16 stations plus one more FM. In Spanish, 1400 KSUN with Miguel Santana. And the English announcers, Tom Brenneman, Greg Schulte, Rod Allen, and Jim Traber. Next, the Atlanta Braves. 640 WGST, a lower power flagship this year, but they have a monstrous network of 137 AM/FM stations, so you can hear them practically anywhere. They also have about six announcers behind the mic, too. Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieringen, Joe Simpson, etc. Six states plus the Virgin Islands. Chicago Cubs on 720 WGN, Pat Hughes and Ron Santo, plus 42 stations AM and FM in seven states. Can't hear them, can't miss them anywhere, really. The Cincinnati Reds, of course, 700 WLW, the flagship, for a 56-station network AM and FM in four states with Marty Brenneman and Steve Stewart. The Colorado Rockies out of Denver, 850 KOA with Jeff Kingery and Jack Corrigan, 36 stations AM and FM in six states. The Florida Marlins out of Miami, 560 WQAM with Dave Van Horn and Alex Roxy Bernstein, 9 AM and at 1 FM station to do the broadcasts, and in Spanish, 1140 WQBA with Felix Ramirez and Luis Iki Quintana. Los Angeles Dodgers, 980 KFWB, Vin Scully, Rick Monday, and Charlie Steiner, 18 AM and 1 FM station in five states during the broadcasts. In Spanish, 1330 KWKW and six station network there. The Milwaukee Brewers, 620 WTMJ, with Jim Powell and Bob Uecker, 21 AM and 9 FM stations in Wisconsin only. Next is Philadelphia Phils, which is a little bit unusual. 6 days a week, they're on 1210 WPHT, and 23 AM and 2 FM stations in three states. Fridays only, 610 WIP. Frank Sinatra is very popular on Friday night, which is why he got moved over. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 1020 KDKA, as they've been on for 40-odd years, with Lanny Fratteri, Greg Brown, Bob Walk, and John Wehner. Steve Blass, home games only, 33 AM and 4 FM game stations in five states here. San Francisco Giants, English, 680 KNBR, Greg Papa, John Miller, and Dave Fleming there, 10 AM and 4 FM stations in four states through the broadcast. St. Louis Cardinals, 1120 KMOX, Wayne Hagen and Mike Shannon, can be heard on 66 AM and 42 FM stations in eight states. Finally, the Washington Nationals can be heard daytime on 1050 WFED, nighttime on 104.1 WWZZ. And based on last year, let's see if Elliott Price and Mitch Melnick return to the mics from the old Montreal Expos to this new team. Okay, that's it for now. My phone number for any updates, 815-774-0184. I'm usually home in the evenings, or else Tuesday and Thursday all day. Thanks very much for listening, and take her away, Fred, with DX, friends.
Well, as usual, we've gotten caught trying to put 20 pounds of stuff into a 5-pound bag, so we've got to get out of here. We'll see you next month. Remember, get out and support radio.